Come, Holy Spirit,
fill us.
Come, Holy Breath,
live in us.
Come, Holy Wind,
move through us.
Where we are guided by prejudice,
fill us with love.
Where we are guided by pessimism,
fill us with joy.
Where we are guided by misunderstanding,
fill us with peace.
Where we are guided by temporary remedies,
fill us with patience.
Where we are guided by self-interest,
fill us with kindness.
Where we are guided by apathy,
fill us with goodness.
Where we are guided by convenience,
fill us with faithfulness.
Where we are guided by complacency,
fill us with meekness.
Where we are guided by temptation,
fill us with self-control.
Come, Holy Spirit,
fill us.
Come, Holy Breath,
live in us.
Come, Holy Wind,
move through us.
Amen.
You turn in your blue hymnals, number 6, here in this place, and we will stand to sing.
Good morning and welcome here. I'd first like to start with if there are any guests that would like to be introduced that are visiting today. I see a few faces that I don't know, but I... Oh, here we go. We'll have somebody.
Good morning. I'd like to introduce the Springfield Heights Blazer Corps. this is Deanna and, oh, there we go, Kim. I knew I was going to forget someone's name. Kevin, Kyle, Courtney, Ben, and, of course, Heidi. we are looking for some new people, so if you've got any kids who are looking to play in a fun and amazing band, we meet Monday nights at 7 p.m. at Springfield Heights. 7 p.m. That's what I said, 7 p.m. Thank you.
They have to have an instrument.
Yeah.
All right, yes, thank you. We are delighted that you're with us today. Yes. All right, welcome here. Are there any other guests that would like to be introduced? Nope, okay. I will go on to some of the announcements, not all of them. Want to make a little plug for the choir that is rehearsing for Thanksgiving, which takes place next Sunday, and they will be rehearsing at 9:45 again. So if you'd like to join them. Oh, yes, Carol? Oh, 9:30, sorry. Okay, so a little bit earlier. And today after church, you may have received an email if you have young kids, but if you'd like to join a group of people that are discussing the possibility of a boys and girls club for our church, that would happen weekly. Yeah, so they're going to have a little meeting after church today, just in the kitchen area. Yeah, okay. Okay, anybody can come. So we'd like to also remind you that we're having our Thanksgiving celebration next week. And if you would like to contribute any decorations or flowers or produce, if you could bring it to church by Friday at 3:30 before that, so that they can set it up on Saturday. And we are going to be having a potluck after church, so please bring a main dish and a salad or dessert. And if you'd like to help set that up or clean up afterwards, they would love that. And at the same time, like when we had our welcoming lunch a few weeks ago, the handprint mural will be obviously still there. But if you haven't had a chance to put your handprint on the mural, the paints will be available, and we'd love for everyone to contribute to that over next week, or if you can't make it next week, some other time. We want to draw your attention to Louise Lowen, who is in Concordia Hospital. She has had a fall, and she's recuperating there. And Louise Lage is finally at home. She came home on Tuesday, and that's great news. This week, Ed Redekop will be having a surgery on his intestines, and he hopes that that will eliminate his pain, and he thinks that he'll only be there for 5 days, so we pray for a successful outcome. The other announcements, of course, there are plenty, and I'll just draw the attention to the parents of youth. If you haven't already received an email from Tim, he wants to meet with the parents, and the youth and the sponsors will go off to a park and have some fun, and he wants to talk to us about what our expectations are. So are there any other things that I should draw attention to?
I wasn't here last Sunday because I was out of town, but I just wanted to remind anybody who hadn't yet thought about coming to the Bethania fundraising banquet tomorrow night at Douglas Church. I still have tickets available, and it is for spiritual fundraising. And this is my 9th and last year. I can only stay 9 years. I can't believe those years have passed by. So if you're also thinking about where you'd like to help out and do some volunteering, I will be looking for nominations next year. So consider that as well. But definitely keep Bethania in your mind. If you would like to have some tickets, give me a call. Thank you.
Back to the youth. You'll notice in the bulletin that the time has changed for youth. It's no longer from 7:30 to 9:30. Now goes from 7 to 9. So if you were to bring your kids at 7:30, we'd already be at the park.
Bye. We want to take some time and sing a memorial hymn together for three of our members who have passed away. I think there was three in the bulletin that I saw, wasn't there? It's Henry and Peter and Mary. Right, so number 220 in the German book. We'll sing all three verses. Let's stand as we remember their their example of life and faith, and thank God for what they have done. We'd like to have a time of sharing now, and I know that when I'm sitting in the pews, I'm never sure what to share. So I thought maybe having a theme would help us to think of something important to share with the rest of our family here, the title being, When Was Someone Kind to You? So if there is something that pops into your head right now and you'd like to share that with your church family, that would be great. We do have a roaming mic. Anyone can participate. Oh, you look so eager. Oh,
sure.
Okay, you want to come up here?
Sure.
Hi, how are you all? My name's Bill Podolsky, and I live at the First Old Church down the street. And in the last month, I had a bout with mortality, and I know that the prayers and the teachings that I've received from people here in this church and the community, I truly believe what kept me through it. And they tell me I'm relatively healthy right now, so I don't want to say I'm a miracle, but I feel like a miracle in many ways. And I'd like to personally thank Gary for his unbelievable support, and Alice for her kindness and love, and Brother Jake for being there all that time and reminding me that there's a bigger picture. And I just wanted to share that with this first time I've been back in a few weeks. And it's really nice to be here alive. Thank you all. And thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Bill. That's great news. Is there anyone else who would like to share? You don't have to come up here. I know that's terribly intimidating. Well, I thought if no one had anything to say, I should at least have a story. Not sure if I can tell it. Thought I could. As you know, my sister was in hospital last year, and she's doing great. Which is why I'm crying, but, the particular situation that came to me as I was thinking of someone being kind was, we had a particular, infectious diseases specialist who was working on my sister's case at the time, and everyone was completely baffled. And, on probably the third day of my sister's coma, she just approached me and my brother-in-law separately, and said, "You look like you could really benefit from a hug." And I thought, wow, like a doctor who is just like world-renowned is saying, "Hey, if I was in this situation, I would need a hug." And obviously that has been truly memorable for me. Sorry. So,
That was really tough. If anyone has a less weepy story that they still like to share, we're open to that. If I didn't mean to make you all cry. If not, we will continue with some worship music from the Blazer Corps and singing hymn number 322 in your blue hymnal, which Janet will lead. Please join me as we bow in prayer. Loving God, grower of spiritual fruit, we come before you in prayer on this day, asking that the fruit of the Spirit blossom, mature, and ripen in our lives. Fill our hearts with a deep love for you and a compassionate love for our families, friends, and the greater community. Show us how we may find delight in serving you at church, in our homes, workplaces, and beyond. Thank you that volunteers have answered the call to teach the Sunday school students, sponsor the youth, and pray for these programs. May their enthusiasm be contagious. Bless the assembly of individuals discussing the formation of a possible weekly children's club. Fill them with a joy for this ministry. May we strive to assume a contented attitude in the acceptance of ourselves and circumstances we encounter each day. When anxiousness overtakes us, wrap us in your arms and fill us with your peace. We especially think of the Jansen and Dick families who are keenly feeling the loss of Peter and Henry. They need the comfort of your spirit at this time. Teach us, dear Lord, to be patient. Let us be reminded that your timing is perfect. Whether we wait for the right person to share our life with, the possibility of being offered a new job, feeling the hope of cradling a new life, or waiting for an appointment and test results when we or someone we care for is ill, guide our words and our actions when we care for our children and our aging family members. We praise you this week that Tim has started in his ministerial role amongst us, that Ed Redekop has a surgery date for tomorrow, and that he would experience your healing touch through the skills of the medical team. May he be free from pain. We ask that Louise Lowen recover from her injury and be able to return to her home soon. And we think especially of Louise Lage, who has transitioned to her home after a very extended stay in the hospital. Show her and Rudy love and support from their family and friends. Thank you for your continuing grace and forgiveness when we act selfishly, oblivious to the needs of others around us. Encourage us to respond instead with respect and kindness to everyone. Each of us has a unique story. Open our ears to listen and our hearts to accept without judgment. Help us, Lord, to firmly root ourselves in you, so that like trees by a stream which send down their roots to the water, we may produce the fruit of your Spirit. Amen.
As we take the offering, we're going to again join the Blazer Corps in a hymn. This time it's number 50 in your blue hymnals. Praise the Lord. Sing hallelujah.
If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15 and verse 22. My friends, you were chosen to be free, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. All that the law says can be summed up in the command to love others as much as you love yourself. But if you keep attacking each other like wild animals, you had better watch out, or you will destroy yourselves. God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, and faithful.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to have the Blazer Corps here. I always love it when you guys come. Thanks so much for blessing us with that music. I used to play the trombone, so I'm kind of sad there's no trombone in your midst, but maybe there'll be some more young people who want to join. And thanks, Kim, for worship leading. People always say, oh, doing the sermon is so hard. And I think worship leading is way, way harder than writing a sermon. So I appreciate you being willing to do that. So Phil is downstairs teaching Sunday school. Phil's my husband, but he always encourages me to start the sermon with a joke, because he likes to hear a little joke before we get down to the serious stuff. So this joke is for Phil. He told me to leave him out of it, but he's not here, so I can blame him for telling this joke. So this joke is about a kindergarten teacher, and she was helping one of her students put on his boots. And he asked for help, and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boots still didn't want to go on. By the time she got the second boot on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as they worked together to put the boots back on, this time on the right feet. Then he announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" like she wanted. She prayed for patience. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off. Then he said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots back on his feet again. Then she said, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." As some of you are teachers, maybe you can relate. I think if some of you have children, you can definitely relate to children's logic in this situation. This situation definitely called for a lot of patience. I love the imagery of fruits that are used. It's used throughout the Bible, a lot in the New Testament. In Matthew 7:16, it says, "We shall know false prophets by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus will you know them by their fruits." In John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." In the passage Kim read from Galatians, we are called to bear the fruit of the Spirit as proof that we are living in the true Spirit of Christ. So the fruits we're talking about today are patience, kindness, and goodness. Before we talk about the fruits themselves, I wanted to talk about what's involved in bearing fruit. The imagery of a vine or a tree heavy with good fruit, just waiting to be picked, comes to mind when I read these passages. It takes a lot of energy to produce that kind of fruit. Some plants produce one bunch of fruit and then they die. They put all their energy into it, and there's none left for the plant to continue living. Who is the fruit for? Fruit's not for the plant. It's for others. The plant doesn't get to eat any of the fruit it produces. The benefit of the fruit for the plant, or the vine, is the seed that is in the fruit. The hope that the seed will in turn produce fruits of its own one day. So let's take trees and vines out of it and put ourselves in this metaphor. We produce fruit, love, joy, patience, kindness, hope, for others, not for ourselves. Our love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, all the fruits listed in this passage, is our gift to the people around us. It's a gift we want to share with people because we have received the greatest gift of all from God. If we don't share the gift of the fruits of the Spirit with others, we are not true followers of Jesus. We are like the people in the passage Kim read, biting and devouring and fighting with each other. The benefit to us in sharing our fruit is the seed we plant in others' hearts. The seeds of love, joy, hope, patience, and kindness, with some nurturing, will also bear fruit. Fruit that this time is a gift to us. It's like that moment after you've spent a few years caring for your baby, giving them the gift of your fruits of the Spirit, giving them your love, joy, kindness, patience, sometimes lots and lots of patience. The moment when your child is now 3 or 4 years old and throws their little arms around your neck and says, "I love you." This time the fruit is for you, a wonderful gift born out of the seed you planted by sharing your fruit. Now let's look at the type of fruit we should be giving. Patience first. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time spelling patience. Every time I went to type it in, it came up red, underlined. I know there's a C in there somewhere, but I'm never sure quite where it fits. I have no patience in spelling patience. Patience is defined as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. The text of the song we'll be singing after the sermon is taken from the King James Version of the Bible, and instead of patience, it says long-suffering. I think that's often how we feel when we need to be patient with someone, or when we have to sit through something that's about as fun as watching paint dry. We are suffering. True patience is not that we made it through something, but how we made it through. It's about being fully present with the person or activity that can drive us crazy and finding peace in it, letting go of our negative thoughts. Kindness is defined as friendly, generous, and considerate. I think patience and kindness go together well because when you take the time to show true patience to someone, you are being kind at the same time. Kindness is infectious. It can spread just like joy. When someone shows you kindness, you are more likely to show others you meet kindness as well. Over the last 2 years or so, I've been consciously trying to be more patient and kind, specifically those two fruits. I hope you are all thinking to yourself, "I always thought Elizabeth was super kind and patient." And if you're thinking that, then good, my plan is working. Only God, myself, and my husband know the truth. I started thinking seriously about what kind of fruit I was bearing and how that was impacting myself and those around me. I may have presented an outward appearance of patience and kindness, but inside I was scowling, tapping my foot impatiently, sighing, grumbling, and groaning. I was like a branch that might bear some fruit and looks healthy, but is slowly rotting from the inside. It wouldn't take much for that branch to be broken off the vine. I wasn't producing the best quality fruit, like a watermelon that you're so excited to get home and you cut into it and it's meh. It's, you know a watermelon can taste better than the one that you have. That's the kind of fruit I was producing. It was okay, but not delicious. I knew I needed to change my attitude to be more patient and kind inside as well as out. It's been an interesting time, and I've often failed, usually with those closest to me. It's somehow easier to be patient and kind with people you don't know very well. One of my most profound experiences happened last summer. I work at G's Magazine, and our offices are in Knox United Church. It's a huge church downtown on Edmonton Street and overlooks Central Park. The congregation no longer needs such a huge building, and a portion of it has been turned into offices, which they rent out to various businesses and nonprofit groups. It's not the best neighborhood in town, and I usually try to make my way fairly quickly from the parking area in the back alley of the church to the rear office entrance. This particular day was quite beautiful, and I was getting my things out from the back seat of my car, and I noticed a woman with several shopping bags walking past. She was an African woman in her mid to late 50s. She wore a head covering and a long coat despite the warm weather. She paused by my car and looked at me with a frown. I gave her my best "It's a beautiful day" smile and started walking toward the door. I think I decided that wasn't kind enough, so I said hello as I made to rush past her. "Do you attend this church?" she asked me. I stopped and said, "No, my work just rents office space here." "Do you know the pastor?" she asked. I said, "Well, I'd met him a few times, but we really didn't have much to do with the church itself. I was just working there, and our business was just renting office space." At this point, my whole insides are screaming at me to just walk away. I don't know, that this lady seems to have a problem with the church, and I'm going to be late for work. I have no fruit of patience or kindness to give this lady. I wanted to leave. But instead, I calmed myself and listened as she talked. She was a recent immigrant and was looking for a church to go to. She told me how she missed the church she had left behind when she came to Canada. And she thought she would try going to Knox because she lived in the area and thought it would be nice to belong to a church in her community. She told me how she just wanted to talk to the pastor, but they had passed her off to someone else. "A black woman like me," she said. She started to become emotional and cried as she said she didn't want to talk to that woman. She just wanted to meet with the pastor. She said they had thought she wanted money from them, but all she wanted was a church community to belong to in her new country. I said I was sorry and that I wasn't sure what had happened to her in her experience with this church, and I asked if I could give her a hug. She said yes, and we stood in the alley behind the church hugging as she cried and asked if it was wrong that she wanted to meet with the pastor. I tried to reassure her that it wasn't wrong and asked her name. She thanked me, and she said she felt better. It had really bothered her that they thought she wanted money from them. I said I would pray for her, and we went our separate ways. I think of her often, and when I do, I say a little prayer and hope she found the church community she was looking for. I had a profound moment with this woman because I allowed Jesus' Spirit to work through me and produce the fruit of patience and kindness to allow this moment to happen. I hope the encounter planted some seeds. I know it did for me. I think of it often, and it encourages me to continue striving to produce good fruit. I continue to have wonderful experiences when I allow the Spirit of Jesus to work through me. Goodness is another fruit of the Spirit. It's defined as the quality of being good. That's not very helpful. Goodness is hard to define. I think if you put all the fruits of the Spirit together and made a fruit salad, the result would be goodness. You can't have goodness and not show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Goodness is not accomplished in one act. It's spread out throughout your life, in how you treat your neighbor, your family, how you care for the earth and those less fortunate. Have you ever known someone who was good, who showed true goodness in their life? It's a powerful thing. It makes you look at yourself and wonder, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Can you imagine if everyone practiced all the fruits of the Spirit? If everyone put a conscious effort into bearing this kind of fruit, what kind of world would we live in? It would truly be God's kingdom here on earth. The first fruit is hard to produce and needs a lot of energy. But the more you produce, the easier it gets. It costs you nothing and gives you so much in return. Let's encourage each other to bear much fruit and give of ourselves to others. Let's nurture the seeds we have planted and see Jesus' Spirit grow within our congregation. Let's pray. Jesus, move in our lives and prune away any branches that keep us from producing the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to see and respond to those in need. Help us to grow in faith and spirit. Let's all pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'm going to invite Janet to come up. This next song that we're going to sing has been running through my mind for the last few weeks as we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I asked Kim if she remembered this song, and she did. And I asked Janet if she remembered the song, and she did as well. So I'm hoping there are more of you out there that also remember this song. So I think we're going to sing it through twice, and the melody is easy enough that you should be able to catch on. And the words are printed in the bulletin.
Just so you notice, the second line of the second verse.
Oh yeah.
Should be unto liberty only use, not liberty.
Not livery.
So we're not using uniforms. We're using our freedom in the right way.
Yeah.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. For, brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, hope. Against such there is no law. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. For, brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, hope. Against such there is no law. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage.
After the benediction, we will sing one more song, and then please stay seated until the Blazer Corps finishes with their last song, and then you're free to go. May God, who began a good work in you, continue to be at work in your life, guiding, teaching, and equipping you until Jesus Christ returns. May your love and compassion continue to grow, a love that is full of knowledge and wise insight, so that you will be able to recognize what really matters and live a pure and blameless life. May you live a life centered in the Holy Spirit, a life that bears rich fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, tolerance, and self-control. All the good things that come from following the Spirit, for living this way will bring much glory and praise to God.